Hey, thank you so much for checking out today's video. I'm Pastor Matt, this is Pastor Adrienne, and we pray this message blesses you and encourages you all throughout your week.
Absolutely. For any more information on how to be praying with us or to become a part of our community or to give, please head on over to takeoverjira.com.
All right. So good. So good. You guys can be seated. If you're sitting way in the back or over to the side, come on, move on over to the middle. Shannon, come on up. Sit next to some folks over here. Really glad that you guys are here tonight. This has been a really weird week. Even today has been really weird. We didn't have power, hence the candles. We thought we were going to have to do some candlelight situation here, but the Lord moved, and at Takeover, we are always ready to rock and roll. If you are new here, which there are some new faces, welcome. I'm Pastor Adrienne. My husband, Pastor Matt, and I lead this ragtag group of Messiah's Misfits. Yes. Actually, this is the first Wednesday I've ever done a message, done a sermon, taught. So I'm actually really excited. Who else is excited? Yeah. You know, Matt always has his Bible up here, so I had to bring all of the books that I own to one-up him. But I think the Lord is, I know he's doing something in me, and I believe that this word that I am burdened with is for all of us here tonight. Yeah? All right. Lord, thank you so much for your presence here, God. I just pray, Lord, any spirit of distraction, anything keeping us from receiving that heart of flesh and you taking out that heart of stone, God, I pray that it would go back to hell and that your holy and good and precious spirit would just come and rest on your people. We are ready to receive. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Eli. So I think the number one thing, getting right into it, that most humans struggle with to an insane degree is fear. Would you agree? Yeah? Fear of losing what we have, fear of not having enough, fear of what people think of us, fear of what tomorrow could bring, fear of a bad doctor report, fear of our children falling behind, any number of those things. A lot of those things apply to us. You could name anything, and it could fall under that category of fear. And if we're not careful, fear can become a part of our personality, a part of our character. It can actually become a part of how we interpret the world, how we interpret what God is trying to do around us. Amen? And fear is, it's gross. We hate that feeling of fear, unless you're one of those sickos that likes to go see horror films and, you know, you enjoy that. I think that's a different type of fear because it's not real, right? It's not like you just smashed the only car that you have type of fear, and now you have no way of getting to work, right? It's not a broken relationship in your life, and you have no idea how you're going to repair it type of fear. It's not the empty zero amount in your bank account, and you have no idea how you're going to provide or pay rent type of fear, yeah? That is different. That's the kind of fear that brings up that taste of bile in your throat. It's that kind of fear that makes all the hair on your body stand on end. It's the kind of fear that makes your stomach feel like it's in your throat, but at the same time, it's going to fall out of your body and through the floor. That type of fear. We hate that. Do we not? Okay, it's a little later, so you guys are going to have to talk back, yeah?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah. We hate fear. Do we not?
We hate fear!
Okay. Yes, fear can paralyze us. It can also catapult us into action. Tonight, I want to take a moment to analyze our relationship with fear, but also dive into that understanding that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen?
Yeah.
If fear is so bad, then how can fearing the Lord be so good? Am I right?
Yeah?
Yeah? If you want to turn in your Bibles to Mark 4:35, we're going to come out of a story, a history of Jesus very early in his ministry, and it's about fear. On that day, when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So after leaving the crowd, they took him along, just as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. Now, a great windstorm developed and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. And he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him up and they said to him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" He got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Be quiet, calm down." And the wind stopped and it was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you cowardly? Do you still have no faith?" They were overwhelmed by fear and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." Lord, thank you so much for your word, God. I just pray that it would speak to us to a greater measure, God. Open the eyes of our hearts to receive in Jesus' name. Amen. So most of you know, I did not go to seminary school. I'm just like Peter, fisher of men. Yeah, I actually went to art school, so I'm formally trained in fine art. So we're going to look at a painting tonight, and that's the name of my message, by the way, Faith Over Fear. This painting is by Eugene Delacroix. It's called Christ on the Sea of Galilee. It's an oil on canvas, and it was painted in 1854. We see here the rendering. There we go. Thanks, Kenny. That helps. The artist's rendering of this specific scene in Scripture. I'm going to read this again, and you guys just take a look at this painting. On that day, when the evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go across to the other side of the lake." So after leaving the crowd, they took him along, just as he was in the boat, and the other boats were with him. Now a great windstorm developed, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was nearly swamped, but he was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. They woke him up and they told him, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" He got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Be quiet, calm down." Then the wind stopped and it was dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so cowardly? Do you still not have faith?" They were overwhelmed by fear and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." We're looking at this painting. And we can almost imagine ourselves in the midst of that storm. And I don't know how many of you have been on open water when a storm rolls in, but it is terrifying. It is absolutely crazy terrifying. You're hitting waves, they're crashing into the boat. It's like you're hitting speed bumps, and the wind and the rain is just laser cutting you. It is so sharp, it's so cold, and you are terrified. And I think that we live so removed from the actual scariness of nature. You know, we live in these nice cush square houses that keep us safe. But nature's scary. It's like legit terrifying. And when you're out there and you're thinking about your boat capsizing, you have no idea, no thought in your head that you can actually survive in a storm outside of a boat in open water. It is a scary, scary feeling. So, as desensitized as we are, the true power of nature is awesome, is it not? Is it not? Okay, thank you. So here's Christ. Asleep in the stern, he's right here in the red. We can see he's sleeping so soundly. Both arms are to one side. He's sleeping on a cushion. You can see this radial arc behind his head, a sign of his divinity. And the rest of the disciples here, there's six of them, crashing around on the ship as it's literally being torn to pieces. We see the depth of the color of the ocean, of the water, of the sea. We see the roiling of the sky up above, and we can feel the desperation as they are absolutely terrified that this is how it all ends. And they're looking at Jesus, their teacher, the one who's followed them, the one who's called them out of the mundane and brought them in to something spectacular, and he is sound asleep, like he has no idea what's even going on. And you can see this disciple's hand reached out just in a moment's time, just before he shakes Jesus awake, and he says, "Don't you care? We're about to die. We're about to perish. The boat is about to break apart." From Scripture, we know that they are feeling the full weight of the storm as they are literally trying to hold this boat together. They're filled with mortal terror They are filled with fear. They wake Jesus, and they don't wake him and say, Lord, please save us. They wake him and they say, don't you see? Hello, we're going down. We're about to die. Please wake up. Don't you care? Jesus wakes, probably in a very chill, serene way. I mean, look how he's sleeping there. He probably just stands up. He's probably just, I don't even think he's more mad at the storm. I think he's more disappointed in the disciples, who by this time have seen him heal, cast out demons, cleanse lepers. They've seen him heal the centurion's servant. They've seen miracle after miracle. They've heard the word of God embodied in the body of a man. He shouts at the storm, and it is brought to a dead calm. The water is instantly flat. There's no wind. Everything is silent. And he asks the disciples, where is your courage? Do you have no faith at all after everything that you've seen? The disciples stare in astonishment at Jesus, and the fear they felt towards what was happening around them shifts into a fear of what is going on directly before them. The fear that was of the power of the storm shifts to a fear that is the power of the God-man who commanded the storm to cease in an instant. He didn't say, hey, knock it off. And in the next 10 minutes, it just like kind of fizzled out. It was immediate. The reaction to the voice of the and the power of God was immediate. So often we go through life terrified of the storm when we really need to be terrified of the maker of the storm. The power behind the storm's ability to destroy is really in the hands of the one who gave all things life. Can I get an amen? Life is filled with personal storms that fill us with fear. And you probably have a few going on in your life right now. I know I do. Yeah? Yeah? I doubt it, Eli. But the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, is he not? Maybe the storm that you're trying to figure out is your future. Maybe the storm is your marriage that is broken. Maybe the storm is that you hate your job and you don't know how you're going to last one more day there. Maybe the storm is a relationship that you have that you don't know how you're going to save. Maybe the storm is fear of the unknown. I could go on forever, could I not? You guys could add your personal list of fears of storms to this, yes? Some storms are the kind we can weather in a day. Others span months, and some span a lifetime. In Proverbs, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And in Psalms, it says, the presence of God is the fullness of joy. So fear of God leads to wisdom, and the presence of God leads to joy. And let's be real, at the end of the day, joy is what we want to experience every moment of every day in its fullness. Yes? Yes? Right, Joy? Yes, she says yes. So fear of God, nope, I already said that part, sorry. Then this fear of the Lord is a different kind of fear than what the disciples felt, right? They looked at the storm and their flesh was terrified. They looked at Jesus and their souls knew fear. So we have two different kinds of fear. I'm going to say this. Women in the place, do you know the number one killer of women in the world at large today? Heart attack? Heart disease. 1 in 5 women die of heart disease. It is the number one killer of women. I was talking to Phil, Grant's dad, who worked at UPS, and the average death date of people who manage at UPS is 55 because of stress. If we take stress and we relate that to fear, 55, guys. That's insane. My parents are older than 55. That's buck wild. If we take fear and we relate that to stress, how do we think about how that physically impacts us? How we engage with fear. Am I right? It has some pretty serious stuff that it does to us. Yeah? Can we all agree to that? Yeah. Thanks, Eli. Now, Moses, however, lived through many, many stressful occasions. Many, right? Disobedient, stiff-necked people, things that went horribly wrong, a bunch of complainers that he had to lead into the promised land, being denied the promised land himself. They were attacked constantly. However, he lived to be 120 years old. And it said his eyes were not weak when he died, and his body was as strong as it had ever been. So what is the difference between how we engage fear and stress and how Moses engaged fear? The difference I know is that Moses feared the Lord. His trust was in him alone. He did not fear the enemy and the storms he can bring about in our lives. Why fear the one who can kill our bodies when God is able to pull the very zippers on our souls and undo us? Am I right? I think it's important to look at the definition of fear. So I'm going to look in my Zondervan Pictorial Bible Dictionary here that I got for 50 cents at Goodwill. What a treasure. It does have pictures. Just don't look at disease. Those pictures are scary. Fear, it says here. This word in English has two principal meanings. First, the apprehension of evil, which normally leads one to either flee or to fight. The second, that awe and reverence which a man of sense feels in the presence of God, and to a less extent in the presence of a king or other dread authority. A child feels the first of these in the presence of a cruel parent, the second before one who is good, but who is also just. So fear has two types of fear. There's mortal fear, and there's eternal fear. Yes? You tracking? Okay. Thank you. I also like how it used the word a man of sense. I think that we should all be people of good sense, should we not? Yes? Thank you, Grant. The first kind of fear is caused by evil. The second kind of fear is caused by seeing the awesomeness of God. One is mortal and one is eternal. This side of heaven, we only experience that first part of fear, that first type of fear. The second type of fear we experience for all of eternity, because we will be understanding and in reverence and awe of the goodness of God and the power of God. Do you hear me, people? Fear can cripple. Fear can awaken us to a greater level of awareness of who God is. And Jesus is saying, where is your courage? Have you no faith? The disciples looked at the storm and they felt mortal terror. Instead of looking at Jesus at peace in the storm and full of trust that God had more of a plan for him than to drown in a lake, and so too been drawn themselves to peace and a deepening trust. Amen? Thank you. If Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God, and in a storm he appeared to be neither concerned or aware, yet it was under his power and control the entire time, do you think it's fair to say that in our storms, when we do not see or feel the movement of God, he is still very much present and very much in control? Are you tracking with that? So, a brief personal testimony. I know I do this a lot, but this is kind of important. A few weeks ago, April 12th, it was a Tuesday, and I was doing my normal prayer routine, Oh, March. That's right. March, because we're in April. We're not even to the 12th. Wow. March 12th. It was a Tuesday, and I was doing my normal prayer thing, and the Lord gave me a vision as I was praying. And this is a relatively new gift for me within the last 6 months, and we've been watching a lot of Band of Brothers, and I had this vision that I was in a drop plane. Does everybody know what that is? Nobody knows what that is. Okay, so Scotty got me. Okay, so this drop plane, I was inside of it, and I was strapped up to a harness, and I had my parachute on, and pretty much when they are flying soldiers over another country, they jump out and they land. That's what they used to do, okay? So they did that at World War I, World War II, Band of Brothers, i.e. the Lord gave me a vision. I saw myself in a drop plane, all harnessed up, the door opens, and there's just white snow just blowing by like 1,000 miles, so super fast. And I feel the Lord say to me, "Do you trust me?" I didn't even think about it. I was like, "Yes!" And I go to jump, and it doesn't work. And I'm kind of held in place. And I feel the Lord say to me again, "Do you trust me?" Almost like when he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter's like, "Yes." "No, do you love me?" "Yes." "No, do you love me?" And I said, "Yes." And I jumped out the door and the parachute pulled, and that was the end of the vision that I had. And I was like, "Wow, that's cool. I don't know what that means." Wrote it down in my journal, okay? Wrote it down in my journal. Wednesday, I had a weird meeting show up on my calendar for Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning, I had a Radiant call with the women pastors that are a part of the Radiant Network that Takeover Church is a part of. And the theme of the call was Jesus, Prince of Peace, surviving chaos, fear, and pain. That afternoon, I went into that meeting and I lost my job. So I'm standing before you unemployed. And most of you know, I'm the breadwinner for our family. So the door flew open and I jumped out, or I was pushed out. I and 15 others were laid off. Life dramatically changed. I was startled. I was shocked. A part of me was indignant, angry. And this is a journal excerpt of what I wrote down that afternoon. The future rolls out before me, an unknown. I know at once peace and in another moment great despair. I am torn between trust and fear, grief and shame, being misunderstood with vengefulness. I want something to happen immediately. I want the favor I was beginning to believe I had to move me into something new and amazing right now. This is where pride goes to die. Humility will be the mantle I wear. I am poor in spirit. It would be better if it did not impact the rest of my people, as my imagination is telling me that it will. And because I am so often in scripture and I eat the whole of the scroll as we do here at Takeover, amen, the Lord gave me Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have planned to prosper you and not harm you. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope." My spirit moved on, and I wrote, "I don't need logic and understanding. I need faith." I had plans that night to meet up with some friends and go celebrate someone very special, their birthday. And I didn't want to go. I wanted to cancel, but I went. I told them briefly what had happened, and they encouraged me. I told them that I was hurting, and they loved me, and they told me that God is going before me. Friday morning was the prayer meeting, and I was a wreck. I felt like absolute garbage, but I was still here, still petitioning, still showing up. After prayer room, I told Landon what was going on. And I said, the obligatory, but it's okay, God's got me. And he laughed at me. He said, that doesn't sound very convincing, which chapped my butt. But it's good because it made me look inward instead of just this self-talk, self-help situation. Am I believing the words that I'm saying? And I went home from the prayer meeting, and I got in my prayer closet. I've been spending hours in my prayer closet. And I was trying to break through. I was trying to break through, and I was trying to pray, and I was trying to receive, and I was trying to get vision. I was trying to get encouragement. I was just trying to make my spine strong so that I could stand up. And I would love to tell you that, man, shakabuku, the Lord was just like, boom, boom, baby. But that's not what happened. Actually, my spiritual mom called me. Her name's Pat Brown Paul. She's the absolute spiritual gangster, a Holy Spirit heavyweight, and a dear friend and encourager. She's also black and very bold and saucy, and I mean, she does not cut any crap. She was very, very serious with me. And she told me that God was for me, that nothing had changed, that he was going to provide in every way that I could possibly imagine. And then she went on to share direct examples that had applied to her own life where the Lord had showed up again and again and again. A caveat to that being, we're a young church with a bunch of young people. When we see seasoned saints in here, go to them. Love them. Show them the honor that they are due because they have lived through some stuff. They have seen some stuff and they will encourage you. Are you hearing me? In that moment, I traded my fear for faith. That's literally what broke it off. All those thoughts about being the breadwinner for my family, providing so that Matt can do this, which he does full time, and so that I can support him in that. Thoughts and concerns around how am I going to pay the bills and the mortgage, and what if we lose our home and, you know, got to sell our house and live in a RV, I don't know, down by the river. And it slowly solidified in my mind, so what? So what? There isn't one thing in my house that I love more than I love the Lord. There isn't one thing in my house I can take with me when I die. There isn't one thing that I can eat from my refrigerator that is going to fill me up in the same way that the bread of life can fill me up. And there's nothing that I can drink that is a deeper, more fulfilling well than the spring of Jesus. And so long, you can get happy. Come on, let's make some noise for the Lord. My eyes came off the storm, and I saw the face of Christ. And I will tell you that every time that I get up here, I don't like to be up here. Most of the time, I tell you that. I did preach one time, and Joy was like, you didn't say it this time. And I was like, yeah, I know, I'm getting better. This is not my chosen gift, okay? Every time I get up here, I'm so filled with an awareness that if I'm going to stand up here and I'm going to preach this to you guys, then I better be living it myself. Amen? That should be your expectation of your leadership. Yes? Okay, amen. If you don't remember, a couple messages ago, I was talking about practicing the presence of God. Yes. And I said, what would our faith look like if we didn't have bread to eat or a roof over our heads? And I turned it towards myself and I asked the same question. What would my life look like with the comfort and the stability that I have grown accustomed to? Would my worship still be the same? Well, guys, I haven't had a job for a couple weeks. My worship has intensified. My worship, my desire, my hunger, my ability to encourage, because some of you I've encouraged since that time. And that has so little to do with me and so everything to do with my focus that it is not on the storm, that it is on Jesus Christ, my cornerstone. Amen? Amen? So here we are, folks. It's purifying time. That Sunday, just before service, I was going through my notes, and I found that vision that the Lord had given me. I had completely forgotten about it. And I reread it, and I was like, whoa. He told me I was going to lose my job. He told me that my life was going to turn completely upside down. And I had completely forgotten. And thank God I wrote it down, guys. I encourage every single person to have a journal. I'm not talking about a diary. I'm talking about a journal here. If I had not written that down, I never would have been able to come back to it and been filled and edified by that vision that he had given me. So direct. Hey, the bottom's going to go out. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Later that Tuesday, we visited our rich uncle church, Radiant in Richland, and Pastor Lee taught us that even in the moments of greatest disappointment, God is walking with us, and that we are welcome, that we are to welcome Jesus into every uncertainty, disappointment, and pain. And looking back on that very short span of time, right? We're talking about less than a week and a half. Moment after moment, the Lord was meeting me over and over and over and over again. Encouragement after encouragement that were supernaturally everything I needed to hear. It was like God was cheering for me. Keep your eyes on the ball and go, go, go. And he had so many of you, without even knowing it, sending encouragement, pouring out your love, and cheering me on. And I just have to say, my dear, sweet, long-suffering husband, my dearest friend, my greatest strength, you've been so good. And I know you'll continue to be so good to me. But how can I not win when I'm surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, right? Like, how can I not come into everything that the Lord has for me? I'm not going to lie. It's not been easy, Street. It's not been fun. And it's not the only situation. It's not the only storm that I have going on. I've been kicked in the heart, and it has hurt. But my eyes have stayed on Jesus. Stayed on Jesus. And when I have stumbled and I've fallen, I've continued to get up. I have found myself very upset. And I feel like a fool in the moment for letting myself get stressed out. But the moment I recognize it, I lift my eyes once more to the face of Christ, because he has never left me. And he's watching me. And he is going before me. And when I can't walk, he is carrying me. Amen? Just like Peter, after he denied Jesus, Jesus went to the cross, died, and was resurrected. And Peter went back to doing his fisherman thing. There was Jesus on the shore, making breakfast. And as Peter came back saying, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" I don't have all of the answers, and I don't think that we need all of the answers. But so often, I know that my body will feel stressed, and it will be an open rebellion to the peace that the Lord is trying to give me. Does anybody relate to that? Or your spirit, your soul, can be so in tune with the Lord, but your body can just be freaking out. Yes? I think that we can look at our body and we can say, "Shut up." Right. And we can lean into what the Lord is doing. And even if we don't feel it, the Lord is doing something inside of us, and we are transcending what is going on physically. And spiritually, we are standing on the mountaintop. Yeah? I think what we need most to know is who is in control. And that fear of the enemy, fear of man, fear of the world need to die. Are you hearing me, people? The further we walk with Jesus, the more we stare into his beautiful face, the more comparison dies, the less I care about what people say about me. I trust the Lord to vindicate me, and I would hate to not be on the Lord's side. Amen? The more I want the Lord's approval and his approval alone. When Jesus asks me, where is your courage? Where is your faith? I want to say right here. The cup of my heart is full of faith. And yes, at times, the cup of my emotions is tainted by fear. But Lord, help me to overcome. Help me to drink deep of the trust that I have in you. Help me to see you rightly. Not too long ago, the Lord gave me a very, very practical visual, an illustration of what goes on the inside of us. You've heard us talk about our soul being our mind, our will, and our emotion, yes? And that the Spirit of God has to come and make all three of those things work in conjunction and in alignment with his good and perfect will. Yeah? I drew this really crummy sketch. You can throw that up there. And it's very similar to the one that I drew in my own journal. Literally, anything that the Lord gives me, any revelation, any question, anything he's drawing me back to, I write it down. Because I am so forgetful. Humans are so forgetful, guys. I write it down. So this sketch, very similar to the one that I have in my notebook. And we've got three vessels there. The cup of my mind, originally when he gave me this vision, it was this really ornate pewter goblet. And it had all of this crazy ornate stuff going on, Game of Thrones style. Never seen it, but I would imagine it would fit in with the theme, okay? And there was a bunch of like dirty stuff like in all of the crevices of this really ornate vessel. And the cup's design was, it was gross. I couldn't see into it. I couldn't clean it well enough for my mind to feel clean. So he took it away and he gave me this cylindrical glass situation that we see there. You can see through it. There's nothing to hide in there. And he can fill it. He can fill it with his word. And it's pure. So God gave me that glass. He can fill it easily and I can see if there's ever gunk in it. The vessel of my will looked like a clay vessel. And this is the one that I feel like I struggle with the most. I don't know about you guys. My will and God's will align pretty easily most of the time. And what I want is what he wants. Or I should say what he wants is what I want. And he can fill it readily. The last vessel is my emotions. It's metal and it's shallow. And that is the one that is the most radically out of control in my life. Who relates? So what's more is fear filling that vessel taints the vessel of my mind as well. When it gets funky, it leads me to feel really, really off. Look at how shallow the vessel of the emotions is. It's like a really weird martini glass. There's room for only really one thing at a time in that vessel, yeah? So when the vessel is filled with fear, that's all I feel. That's all that there is room for in that vessel. And I think that there's a reason for that. I think there's a reason that the vessel for the mind is so deep, that the vessel for the will is so tall, and the vessel for our emotions is so shallow. Our emotions are simply not to be trusted, right, guys? They will mislead us every dang time. And I think the Lord is showing me here that the vessel of my mind, which is full of his word, the vessel of my will, which is full of the testimony of his goodness, are better at leading me than that dinky little thing right there that can only hold one thing at a time. If I fight to fill my emotional vessel with faith, that's all that there's really room for. There won't be room for anything else, and especially not fear. Are you hearing me? I believe that that is what the Lord is drawing us to. The world says, what does your heart tell you? What are you feeling? And I'm saying run from that kind of garbage, okay? Run into your prayer closet and seek the Lord. Ask him to dump all of the contents of your emotional vessel out and fill it with the oil of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Can I get an amen? All right, worship team. I don't want to say that those cups, I don't want any of those cups to be filled with fear, unless it's fear of the Lord and seeing him rightly. Amen? That fear of, wow, you and you alone are in control. All these things are vying for my attention, my emotions, my thoughts, but you and you alone are drawing me back to your nature, a nature that is good and just and filled with compassion for me. Thank you, God. Now, what does that look like practically? In a given moment, it can look like this. Recognizing when we feel fear. Recognizing when we feel it, it's happening, it's controlling us, and stopping in that moment and turning. When we stop, we turn, we pray. We ask the Lord to fill our senses with the Holy Spirit, with his presence. Recognize the strength that you need is not in you. It's in him. And asking him to fill you. Fill your senses. Let me see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Let me smell the incense of your grace and your mercy. Let me taste and see that the Lord is good. Let me hear the voice of the good shepherd. Respond with trust and obedience. Let me reach out in faith and touch just the edge of your robe and know that I will be healed. Turn to the word. I turn to the Psalms. Psalm 34 is one of my favorite Psalms ever. Yes. You cannot land there and not be encouraged. It emboldens your faith. It builds you up and it gets you ready to take your eyes off from the storm and keep your eyes on Jesus. Watch who you let speak into your situation. As I described, the only people I let talk into my situation were people who were going to edify me and build me up. Because we need 10 of them and one person that comes that speaks death. And them to undo the work of 10 speaking life. That's just how it works. It sucks. It's gross. That is it though. Guard your heart. That is why we champion transparency and community here at Takeover. We are hungry for what the Lord is doing, and he has called us to do this life together. When we let other people in, they can help us make decisions that don't further the hardship of a tough season, but rather help us guide us towards the wisdom that God has for us. And lastly, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep staring into his incredible face. And like Grant said two Sundays ago, strive to know God more. And it will give you the inside track of what life is going to throw at you. If fear has been something that you've been living with daily and you want freedom from that tonight, we're going to pray. Okay? As we rebuke a spirit of fear, we are also going to ask for the renewing of our minds, which changes our behavior. And as our behavior changes, the way we engage with fear in the future will change. As we move away from fear of the storm and towards fear of the Lord, the reverent posture of seeing him rightly, I know through personal experience and also doing life with seasoned saints that we will be dramatically altered. And if that's you tonight, we're going to open up the altar and I'm going to pray over us so you can come forward and you can receive. There are three things I want to encourage. One, cast any specific fears that you have onto the Lord. Give those storms over to Christ. He's asleep in the boat, but fully aware of what's going on. And he's the only one who has power like that to make that storm cease. Even the storm that's inside of you, he can give you supernatural peace in an instant. Praise God. If you want to receive supernatural, person-altering healing when it comes to your relationship with fear and your relationship with faith, come forward. Or if you want a deeper knowing, understanding, and trust in the Lord, come forward. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray over us Psalm 34. And we're going to close out the evening in worship. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. I will brag about you, God. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come, let's do it together. Let's exalt his name as one people. I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look at him are radiant. Make me radiant like the sun, Lord, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor person cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angels of the Lord encamp around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Young lions suffer want of hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, O children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Speak peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are towards the righteous and his ears towards their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. He loves us and he is always close. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps his bones, not one shall be broken. Affliction will slay the wicked, and those who hate righteousness will be condemned. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. God, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for your spirit that is moving in and amid your people. God, we thank you for those who are yielded to you, made tender and soft. And God, tonight we're just asking, we're holding out these broken elements of our lives, these storms and these fears. And we're just giving them to you. We're saying, Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know where that money will come from. We don't know. We don't know. But we know this. You are for us and not against us. Your desire is to prosper us Your hands are on your people. We walk as favored ones. Our faces are radiant as the sun. As we look to you, you are looking back at us. Our eyes come off the storm, and we see you rightly. God, I just pray for a spirit of fear to go. For you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I pray right now, in this moment, you would draw our minds and our hearts and our will and our emotion to stillness, just like you did the sea. Dead calm. Nothing moving. Just you. Just the awareness of you. We pray that our spirits would respond, but we pray that our bodies would respond also. And God, I just close in asking you for a greater hunger in your people, for you to stir us up, Lord, that we may see you rightly. And as we seek to know you more, you would change the relationship that we have with fear, that you would give us faith. Faith in abundance, that we would see miracles, that we would walk on water, that we would see the storm and we would laugh, that you would guide us, that you would lead us, and we would walk in your strength, and your strength alone. And all of God's saints said as one body, amen, amen, and amen.